Hello, welcome to the session. I'll try to do this in somewhat of a manner so it's exciting, because I know 2:30 in the afternoon is an awful time. This is the time we all tend to get sleepy. So I'm Kim Astroth. I'm a professor at Illinois State University. I want to talk to you just a little bit about this collaborative study that we did with the local health department in looking at flu vaccine uptake. And so our objectives for the presentation today are I want to give you a couple of the barriers that we found when we did our survey to flu vaccine uptake among some of the population in general and some of the different subgroups, and then talk just a tiny bit about the benefits of collaboration with a local university and health department. So just kind of as a quick introduction, I'm sure all of you realize that influenza is a seasonal viral infection, and it affects about 20% or up to 20% of the population in the U.S. annually. And it does have a lot of health outcomes that are not so great and can result in up to 36,000 deaths per year. I wondered if the season had started a little bit already, because I'm already seeing people. I have students in the hospital as well, and I'm already seeing patients coming in respiratory failure and on the ventilator. So, I think it's already starting. Unfortunately, despite the health, the negative health outcomes, some Americans are reluctant to receive this vaccination, and some of these reasons, according to the literature, do vary by race, gender, and age, whether it's misinformation or just simply beliefs that they hold about getting vaccinations. So the purpose of our study, the reason we actually decided to do this, is we wanted to look at the 2013 flu vaccine uptake in McLean County in Illinois. We're just going to look at trends in the vaccination and maybe some of the reasons for people who do not receive the vaccination, what would be the reason for not doing so. I will tell you this is a follow-up to a survey that was done in 2011, again a collaboration between the health department and the university. The primary focus of that one was emergency preparedness, but they also tacked on a little bit about the flu vaccine, and they noticed a decline in the flu vaccine uptake. So that's kind of why the follow-up. And again, we wanted to continue our collaborative effort between the two bodies. Just to give you a quick snapshot of McLean County in Illinois, and I know this is a tiny, tiny place in the middle of the state. Nobody's ever heard of it. Nobody knows where it is. It's kind of centered around Bloomington Normal. Just a little over 169,000 people, primarily white. We have about not quite 11% of the senior population, so that's kind of what we were focusing on a little bit. Some other things, I think the median income is probably around 58,000. Most people have had a high school education, maybe 36% college just overall, and that's kind of the population. What we did was a very simple descriptive cross-sectional study. We used the same survey that they used in 2011 so that we could compare some of the results. It was a convenient sample of adults who were residing in McLean County. We ended up being able to use just under 1,300 people of data. We had a few more, but for the most part, 1,300. I think that was very close to what they had in 2011. I think they had about 1,400 people. So really, though, not even a percent of the actual population. So that was kind of the disappointing part. We conducted the surveys in a variety of ways. We used a paper survey and an online survey. The paper survey, we went to various venues in the Bloomington Normal, which are really the twin cities, the two bigger cities in the county. Grocery stores is a good place to get people. We went to churches because we wanted to access some of the minority groups, so we found a couple of churches who were willing to let us come in and survey their congregation, like before and after their services. So that's how we were able to get some more of our African American population as well as Hispanics. The grocery stores were pretty much scattered all over the county, but within that town, and that's okay. We conducted it very focused in the weekend, so it was like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's when most of the people do their grocery shopping. So that's what we were trying to get at, was and tried to pick those in the more affluent areas and those that are in the less affluent areas. So we tried to get a good cross-section of the county. We did an online survey, too, just to see if we could get any takers on that. And we, Bloomington Normal, I guess one of our only claims to fame besides beer nuts, this is where State Farm is based. So if anybody knows about the insurance company, this is where State Farm has its home. And, of course, we couldn't get them this time because they changed their access policies. And so we didn't know about it in time to get the survey through, and we wanted to roll out everything at the same time. So we did use country companies, and we were also able to use the city and the town, the city of Bloomington, the town of Normal, as well as two of the bigger school districts. So we were able to get kind of a little bit of a cross sample from the business side of it. Just to give you an idea of the sample demographics, okay, now my age is showing through. I've got to pull this out. But most of our people that completed the survey, surprisingly, was in a younger sample, 45 to 64. I say that younger very affectionately. But those were the most people that we had in our sample. The race, again, primarily white. I would say it very much mirrored the sample of the county, despite not getting a full percent of the population. We had more females filling out the surveys, and we also had a very highly educated group, which is just a little bit different from the actual county population. But the household income, the median was 57.3%, were over 50,000, so it was very similar. So despite the small sample, we had some very close similarities to the demographics of the county. Okay, for those that actually did receive the vaccine, we had 55% in 2012 compared to a little bit of a drop, 44.7 in 2013. The 44.7% was very similar to what they had found in 2011. So we just seem to have a lot of peaks and valleys. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. So we're not quite sure why that happened. But I've got a few thoughts about that that I'll talk about a little bit later. We did get some significant associations between those who actually received the vaccine in 2013 and age, race, and income. So those are some things that we're going to explore a little bit more in the future. We're working on a manuscript right now. We want to explore that a little bit more for that. If they got no vaccine, what were some of the reasons? And side effects and whether or not they feel it's effective were probably the two biggest reasons. And those percentages are off a little bit. That's based on the entire sample. Of those that were based on the actual sample, I would have said 36% had concerns about the side effects. More like 28% didn't believe it was effective. So those are the two top ones. We had a category of other, and we probably had 60% that said other, but we haven't really looked at all the it's so varied and so across the board, I don't know if we're going to be able to draw any conclusions from it, but we're still working on that piece of it. So we did get some, looking at specifically side effects, since that was our biggest concern of those who do not receive the vaccine, we did find significant associations, again, between age, race, and gender. Specifically with age, it was a little bit younger population that were more concerned about the side effects. So those in the 25 to 34 and 35 to 44 age range were probably more concerned about the side effects. Interestingly, the older adults were not as concerned. They were the least concerned. So I hope that means that more of them are getting their vaccine. As far as race, more African Americans were concerned about side effects, with Hispanic second and then Caucasian. And again, we want to look a little bit more at that to see what we can do to facilitate that. Finally, gender. Females were a little more concerned about side effects, and I don't have any idea why that is. I have no idea. So it's something that we want to look into, again, a little bit more. It kind of gives us some ideas for some future research, which I'll talk about just briefly. Another question we asked was how likely they thought that residents would get the flu in the county. Surprisingly, very likely and somewhat likely were the higher things, which just kind of surprised me as well, despite the fact that less than half actually get the vaccine. So, again, it looks like we've got some work to do in that county. If there were an outbreak, where would they get information? This was another question. Most of them would get the information from their healthcare provider, which was somewhat surprising, but not necessarily. Media was another thing, the television, internet, and radio. Very disappointing, though, was the fact that they would go to their health department. So that, again, is something we need to work on. Only 27% thought they would get information from their health department. So, anyway, so kind of our initial impressions from the data that we received is that I mentioned this before, since the majority of the group thought that it was somewhat to very likely that people would get the flu, but yet only 44.7% received the vaccine. I apologize for there's a couple of typos in here. But, and I said race, income, and it's not really level of education so much as it's age kind of tended to play a role in that. Those are some things we want to look at a little bit more, and maybe even getting into some focus groups or something like that might help us get at some of those reasons or understand that data a little bit more fully. We also feel like the health department, I think they were disappointed in the 27%, and so they really want to look at that a little bit more detail and see what they can do to be more visible and educate on effectiveness and side effects of the flu vaccine. So it kind of gives them a little bit more towards their purpose in terms of what their goals are going to be for the upcoming years. And they were the ones, this was their idea, this is what they wanted to do, and they came to us for help. And so I feel like we've helped them kind of decide what direction they need to go in, and I'm hoping that that's what happened. The we had some limitations, obviously. It was a very small, convenient sample. It was not fully representative of the sample of the county. Self-report data is always an issue. But the timing of the survey is another one that I was a little concerned about, because when we did our survey, we completed at the end of October, and so the flu season was just kind of getting under swing, and we were trying to compare it somewhat to the 2011 survey, which was completed in April. So most of the people have had their flu vaccinations by then. So I'm hoping that our 44.7% actually will go up. If we were to redo this, hopefully it went up. So that was, again, a limitation. We had to go according to when we could get the most manpower, which is kind of that was one of the benefits of our collaboration, was that the university could provide manpower. You know, we have students that are kind of a captive audience a little bit, and we used our entire public health nursing student population, as well as I had master's students who were in epidemiology, and we were able to, and I also had a couple of PhD students who helped with this as well. So we had good representation from nursing. I also was able to recruit a few health education students in the university. So we got the job done pretty efficiently. A lot of scheduling, but it was done. So really, in conclusion, the health department has, I think, gotten the message that they feel like they want to have a more focused effort on disseminating information about the flu vaccine. And you think that it's been around for a long time, you think that would be fairly easy and kind of self-explanatory, but I'm not sure that it's still there. I mean, obviously our numbers are not telling that. It would have been nice to have had bigger numbers to see if that's truly the case, but it doesn't hurt to provide more information. I would say that our partnership between the university itself and the health department continued to be successful. We worked well together. Some of the things that we did that facilitated that, we had regular meetings. We tried to meet at times that were conducive to both parties. We kind of split up the workload. The university, we did the IRB, and we recruited the students, and we got them all city trained, and we did all that stuff. They took care of the venues since they had done the survey before. They had the contacts with the community. And it was good that they contacted the community, because that puts them more out into the community. But they provided our supplies, like tables and chairs and things like that. But then we worked together when we were actually doing the survey. We took turns monitoring the students. We would make rounds and go to all the different sites and make sure that there were no problems. All the students had our cell phone numbers should there be any issues. They had store manager phone numbers in case there were any issues at the store. So we tried to keep those kinds of things covered. And finally, I feel like we were able to use nursing as well as health education students successfully to collect our data. We didn't have too much trouble. I mean, there's a few that inappropriately probably used their cell phone, and we said no food or drink. You know, you could have water, but no food. And, you know, there's a few little issues. A couple of them didn't show up when they were supposed to, that kind of stuff. I mean, you can't have that. We probably had, I would say at least 100 students helping with this. So I think all in all, we had pretty good luck with the student help. It could have been worse. And then, again, as I've kind of alluded to, we do have some implications for some future research, but the fact that maybe the county public needs to be re-educated about using the health department as a resource. They have a lot of information, and I just think there's a very small percentage who actually use a health department. And the thing is the county health department, everybody needs to be using them. We also would like to, within that re-education, maybe is there some way we can change some of the misperceptions about the vaccine, its effectiveness, and some of its side effects. And then finally, maybe we need to do something a little bit more targeted intervention to some of the subgroups of the population to facilitate their uptake of the vaccine. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. We're kind of hammering out some of this stuff and working on a manuscript, so hopefully we'll be able to get it out within the next year or so. I do want to tell you right now that I have to leave for a plane pretty early. I won't be able to stay till the question and answer period, so please feel free if you want to contact me with questions. I'm happy to field them. If you just go to Illinois State University's website, look up me or search me through people, you can find me. You can find my email. So thank you so much.